each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, for the winds have changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. A happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Easter Monday.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
This is
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. What's your name?
Nick.
What's your name, Nick?
Who am I?
Nicholas.
Who are we?
This is the latest I've come into the studio.
Jerry and I were starting to worry.
I wasn't worried. I was working.
You know where you
were. I was
were.
Working, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, happy Easter, everybody. This is, I'm Father Anthony, and we're coming to you from the, where are we? We're at the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy here.
That's right.
What's the name of the parish? St. Stanislaus. Kostka in the heart of what city?
Chicago.
We're in Chicago.
You're going through Monday mood a big time today, aren't you?
What's that?
You're going through Monday mood big time today, aren't
well,
you?
Well, you better believe it.
It's overworked Monday.
What does that mean? Yeah, exactly.
Overworked. Monday.
Whatever that means.
It's not a mood.
It's not.
It's life. It's an exhaustion after the Triduum.
Well, you know, the thing is, so the point is that, you know, we've come through the Triduum. We've come through the whole, you know, so we're coming into Monday now. I'm working on this letter all morning. At the same time, I'm being distracted, being called here and there and everywhere. And you know how that is.
Opening the door and everything.
Everything. So, but we're here, and it's a beautiful. Well, anyway, how are you guys doing? How was your Easter?
Great.
All right, Nick, you go first.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was going first, but I'm doing all right. Easter was okay. I was working, and
I was waiting for that. I knew you were going to say that.
And also, I'm doing fine. A friend of mine is going through back surgery today.
Ah, ooh. We'll keep her in prayer. Him.
Thank you. What's that?
What's the name?
My friend Kimmy, who I've talked
Kimmy,
about.
Kimmy, yeah.
Who I hang out with sometimes.
Okay.
And she's going through that because she was having a few problems. But
yeah.
She's doing a lot better right now.
Okay.
Or she's doing okay right now. She should be in surgery at this time.
We'll keep her in prayer, Nick, absolutely.
But I know she'll be all right.
She'll be fine.
Of course.
All right. Poor Nick had to wait. He's always working, you know. The guy needs a break. Doesn't he?
He needs a...
Yeah. I don't know.
You do.
Keeps him out of trouble. Like, all right.
Maybe he
keeps us all out of trouble.
He keeps us... Exactly. Yeah. So you guys are... I told Christine as I'm running down the stairs with my tea, with no lemon or no lime,
oh,
so I'm going to
no.
see how that's going to
no,
work.
No, that's going to be... Nah,
but I said, you know, you guys are going to have to... This is going to be your show. You're
yeah, like
take
always.
It,
so. And then we'll handle it as we always do. Right. Yeah, so very capably,
and
yes.
And you're always carrying us anyway, so.
Yes.
No, al contrario. How are you all doing, and how was your Easter? Any comments?
My Easter was the best it's ever been.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a wonderful, in the Holy Week, the Triduum could not be topped.
It's beautiful.
No,
really beautiful.
It was beautiful, very powerful.
Yeah.
Even though it's very exhausting.
Yeah.
I told Jerry after each day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I would come home like I was beaten up. Just the body aching. I'm like, I didn't do anything. It's
right.
Just I'm tired.
I mean, you did a lot. You did a lot.
Yeah.
Exhausting.
I can't say that I really feel that way. Right? I mean, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. There's no doubt about it. I am.
Mm-hmm.
But in a good way.
Only it's just that I have to, if I could just rest my mind,
right.
because
mm-hmm.
I had to get
be
this, I've been working on a letter now. We've got the Divine Mercy coming up now. We've got the concert. We've got the confirmation coming up. Now the weddings and all the First Holy Communion.
So.
I would say, you know, in some ways, to be honest, Holy Week is a very nice week because I'll tell you why. One of the reasons why is that there's not a Mass Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning.
That's right.
So those are 3 days that you get up and you're not having to, and not that I rush and I pray before I go to Mass, but the point is that you've got a little bit more space to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's right.
Helps with the preparation for the liturgies and all that.
Sure.
But so that makes it kind of nice. And then everybody's preparing for their own Easter celebration,
yes.
So it's a little bit quieter.
Yeah, although a funeral came in.
Yeah.
One of our longtime parishioners.
Died suddenly.
Good Friday.
On Good Friday, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just kitty corner from the parish that was over here. And God rest his soul, Richard Agustiniak. But that's so we're preparing for that as well. But
yes.
It's this is when it really gets busy because it's a different kind. I mean, the Triduum is
sure.
a different kind of busyness. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful when you come into those liturgies. It just they're so deep,
yes.
so deep. And but now we've got all kinds of things happening between now and. To the middle of June, from
yes,
now until the middle of June,
right.
it's going to be. This is, this is the busiest time of the year.
It is.
The busiest time of the year.
But Father, I have to say, the Triduum is such a beautiful, beautiful time of the year. Cause
it is.
It's just the ultimate. It's like the climax.
Yeah.
And for Holy Thursday, beautiful. Just to see the disciples up there.
Sure.
It's very powerful, the priesthood. And then Good Friday, I have to say that the evening service, I prefer the evening service because, of course, it's evening.
Yeah.
There's a mysticism and
exactly.
a lot of and sadness, of course, because our Lord, that's when he dies and
right.
for our sake and the whole world. But in the evening when you come out with the procession at the end with the body.
It's beautiful.
That's very powerful.
It's very, very moving.
It's very moving, and I could see the people are really, they're crying. I
yeah.
saw the people in the church crying just to see that. It's very emotional.
Because what we do, just to kind of, or maybe you want to enflesh it a little bit, so kind of give a visual.
Of the service?
Yeah, like, well, the processions are very solemn.
The processions are very solemn. You come out, the altar boys, and... The banners.
The banners.
Our Blessed Mother's in black.
Right.
And there's four men carrying her.
She's carried.
She's carried in the procession.
Statue, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then we have the people, I think it's the three people who are dressed up as
right.
you have our Blessed Mother.
And the, well, they're the women who mourn.
The women who mourn. But our Blessed Mother, well, she's
no,
being.
No, she's carried, being
she's
carried.
She's carried, yeah. And John, the
and
apostle,
John.
Is there.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And they're walking in the procession, but it's so solemn.
Yeah,
and just our Lord is being carried. It's like a funeral.
This is at the end.
At the end of the service, the body is being carried out and taken towards like it's kind of like the tomb.
Yeah, really.
And then, but as the body's being carried, my father's singing a song in Spanish, which is been translated into English. My people, what did I do to offend you? Three times.
Yeah.
My people, what did I do to offend you? And so he's being carried in by the tomb, and then that goes, we go right into the novena, the Divine Mercy.
Novena.
But it's so powerful.
And, the tomb, because we used to have a tomb.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
this is much nicer, isn't it? Because it's...
He's being laid out kind of like waked.
Like waked, exactly.
Yeah,
because
the
so the body is carried, and it's where we have the image of the Divine Mercy, mm-hmm. but it's covered, but the very, very regal, very beautiful
yes,
covering.
Yes, the covering. It's like a Bergen wine color.
Right, that very nicely just covers the whole, because it's huge. It's a 9-foot
yes.
image of the Divine Mercy, the icon of the Divine Mercy. And so it's all covered. So you've got that ermita, or the niche, the
yes.
little altar area that is just barren, except
mm-hmm.
you've got the altar with the marble top.
Yes.
And then the body is placed on that, mm-hmm. and then the
There's
two candles to the side, and then the Blessed Virgin.
Yes.
It was that image for me was so powerful.
Yes.
So powerful. And of course, you get the dark church, and you've got this mm-hmm. Bathed in a kind of a soft light.
Yes.
It's just really, really beautiful.
That's why just the evening, it makes so much
it does,
sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It really
it's
does.
Beautiful.
Then now the 3 o'clock in the afternoon we had that was the English. And that's normally the time between 12 and,
yes,
and 3 o'clock. But I understand a lot of parishes do it at night too because people go work now. It's not like in the days
yes,
when
right.
people were off during the day. No, today
a lot of people
work.
And if you do want to take off, you have to request it.
A special request,
you know, to be off.
Very different like in Italy or in Latin American countries,
sure.
you know, it's a day, it's Good Friday is a day off. I mean, it's a day to observe.
Mm-hmm. a lot of parts of Europe. Passion.
I don't know. I know, I believe in Italy, certainly, and I'm assuming most of, you know, Europe is so secularized, you wonder, you know, whether it's observed
probably
or
like
not.
Like the small towns, the smaller
sure, oh
towns,
yeah, definitely,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the 3 o'clock I mentioned on Friday, at that 3 o'clock, it just seems so empty to me. It's just, everything is, it's for Catholics, it's very different in the sense mm-hmm. that we don't have, you know, there's not the, just the rhythm of our mm-hmm. prayer, the rhythm mm-hmm. of the liturgy is disrupted in a very big way because everything is covered, the altar is bare, we don't... you know, there isn't the bowing and the genuflect. I mean, we'll genuflect before the. You know, it just. I spoke about that sense of emptiness. Mm-hmm. You know that
it's like it's all over.
Like
it's
exactly.
all over now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Whereas the night before that's so beautiful. And we had now you guys, Tony, you went visiting
the churches,
right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So that's you want to say anything about that or?
It's just it's a beautiful. It's a beautiful custom. It's just that we didn't have the time this time, you know, and I thought, okay, we're not going to be able to get all seven churches, but the beauty of it is churches are close. And I just,
yeah,
I go back to that thinking of when we could walk to the
right.
different, you know.
Used to be, that used to be.
And,
that.
Yeah, and it's yeah. just a beautiful feeling. It's just, you know, you go there to visit each church, to visit Jesus there, and you got a few people that are there sometimes. It was near, you know, midnight, so there wasn't many people. But just that feeling of a few people there, you know, oh. praying, maybe saying the rosary. It's just,
right,
it's a
right.
beautiful.
You know, when you think about the, it would have been nice to have been around at that time. I don't know, Jerry, if you actually remember that as a child, but they did. They would actually walk. The streets would be full of people going from church to church because that was, you know, it was part of what it's what you did. Catholics did that. And in Chicago, for those who know Chicago or those who don't know Chicago, you've got churches. If I step outside the door to St. Mm-hmm. Stan's on Noble Street and I look to the south, I'll see
Holy Trinity,
and then St. Boniface, which is closed
sure.
now, but that would be a little bit farther south, mm-hmm. and you can see it. And then Maria
Adolorata. And then there used to be one right here close by on Polina, too.
Ascension.
Yes.
And then you can look, turn around, and you look, and you can see the steeple of St. John Cantius, just mm-hmm. right across the mm-hmm. expressway. And then to the north, you can't see it, but it's just it's in walking distance, and that mm-hmm. would be St. Mary's of the Angels and
Holy Innocents on Chicago Avenue.
Chicago. I'll see all those. It would be very easy. You could easily do that. You know,
we used to go to all the churches, but my neighborhood was not as compact as here.
Well, you were kind of in that would be what was called the kind of the suburbs at the time, right?
Well, it was more spread out, yes. Yeah, so we drove. We would drive from one place to another. But we did it every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Saturday was it's just a beautiful.
That's my favorite because it's just so powerful. We start; it's dark, and then the lighting of the Paschal candle,
right.
and you see the light just spread and
Christ's right,
light.
Right.
And powerful for me is when we sing the Gloria because He's risen.
The lights go on.
Bells go on. I was
boy, they love those bells.
I love hearing the bells and just the Gloria. But I was telling Jerry, the Lord has a great sense of humor because we were done and the boys stopped playing the bells. The organ kept playing.
Yeah, it kept playing. I know.
Yeah,
and
poor Sophie was. She didn't know what to do. One of the keys got stuck, and it just kept on going, dee, 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 dee,
yeah,
dee.
Yeah, 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 I noticed that.
And we couldn't stop, and she didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And finally, she was able to turn that off with poor Sophie. My dad said, it was just that the organ didn't want to stop playing. It was just excited. It's
all the spirits there in the church, you know. I was yesterday at the Mass, at the 11:30 Mass, so by that time I was really beginning to really feel tired, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So that would have been, the fourth Mass of the day on Sunday, and then I had the other Mass at 5:30. But so at 11:30, I was, of course, this is a Spanish Mass, and so when you're tired, I told the POC, I can't even speak English when I'm tired. You're like, right now, but I was thinking of a word, and I've forgotten what context, but I was thinking of the word like the vagabond or
vagabundo.
Vagabundo. Mm-hmm. But I was saying vagabando or vagabando or something like that.
Vagando.
And I said, no, that's, and I said, what? And somebody corrected me. You know, sometimes we have this little dialogue from the pulpit, you know, with the language. And because I'm asking, you know, I'm not sure if I'm saying this mm-hmm. right. And I says, no, this is right. And then somebody said no. And it was, I forgot the, anyway. So the point being was, when I left the pulpit and I went, as I was going, I said, I know that word, there is a word, that there is such a word. And then I heard this voice say, vagabundo.
Mm-hmm.
Vagabundo, it was Margarita.
Okay.
But I didn't know where it was coming from.
Yes,
so I just
yes.
looked around and said, like a miracle. This is a, you know, where's this voice coming from, you know? This is thinking of the spirits in the church or, you know, you're talking about the organ continuum. You guys finish an area that keeps playing.
And I said, and then I told Sophie, she was panicking. And I said, you know, the Lord has a great sense of humor. He likes to play with us.
Sure.
And she said, oh, yes, he loves playing with us.
Yeah. I said, it was nice having the young women who were in the mission.
Yes.
It's always a nice having them here. Yes, it was really, really, really beautiful. So anyway, we can take a break. We'll take a break.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We'll come back. We'll look at we'll see what happens. We'll just talk about Easter. If you guys have something to say, you can... You can say, so you're going to have to carry me through this show. I say that a lot.
We always do, right?
Yeah, like we always do, Father, yes.
Well, this time, today, you're going to do it, okay? So I think already you got just a couple of minutes to think of what you're going to say. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday, and the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and English and Spanish confessions, the recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the church's sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is this Saturday evening, April 11th, at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Tickets also available at the door the day of the concert.
Welcome back. We're here, right?
Yes.
We're here. Christina just went to fetch something from me. Anyway, for us, I guess... Because we don't know. I just don't feel like doing it. You know, we can't have silence, right? We got to keep... I'll share with you a little bit of what the Pope said yesterday, because that would make sense, wouldn't it? You know, he's the head of the church.
Yes.
He gave his address to the world. And really quite interesting, because he begins with, Happy Easter and Jesus Christ is risen, that love has triumphed over hatred, life has conquered death, and light has dispelled the darkness. We hear that all the time, don't we? That's that out of love for us, Jesus stripped himself of his divine glory, emptied himself, took on the form of a slave, and humbled himself even to death, death on a cross. And for this reason, God exalted him and made him Lord of the universe. He is Lord. By his death and resurrection, Jesus shows everyone the way to life and happiness. What is the way? He's going to focus on this in a rather beautiful way. What is the way to life and happiness? In a word.
God.
We'll pay, no. Well, of course. That's always a, you sound like a, like these first and second graders. You ask a question, they always say, God is always the right answer, you know?
Well, he is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Right. He's everything.
But what is the way? What is the, so Jesus is the way. He shows us the way. He's mm-hmm. the way. But what is, mm-hmm. what did he show us in his life? What is the way to life and happiness?
Cross.
In a word. Huh?
The cross.
Well, of course, that's a good question. Yes, we got to go by way of the cross, but...
Being obedient and humble?
Humility.
Mm-hmm.
The way is humility, mm-hmm. which involves humiliation. Mm-hmm. Humiliation. And this is the path which leads to glory. And only those who humble themselves can go towards the things that are above, towards God. The proud look down from above. The humble look up from mm-hmm. below. So this is very nice.
And God raises the lowly.
Right, and the Magnificat, mm-hmm. The Blessed Virgin spoke about that, the Blessed Mother. So on Easter morning, alerted by the women, Peter and John run to the tomb, and they found it open and empty. Then they drew near and bent down. They bent down, he emphasizes, the Pope, that they bent down in order to enter it. To enter into the mystery, we need to bend down to abase ourselves. Only those who abase themselves understand the glorification of Jesus and are able to follow him on his way. The world proposes that we put ourselves forward at all costs, that we compete, that we prevail. But Christians, by the grace of Christ, dead and risen, are the seeds of another humanity, in which we seek to live in service to one another, not to be arrogant, but rather to be respectful and be ready to help. This is not weakness, but this is true strength, mm-hmm. you know, true strength. Those who bear within them God's power, his love, and his justice do not need to employ violence. They speak and act with the power of truth, beauty, and love. Here that comes again, you know, this is something that these kind of Trinitarian words, you know, truth, beauty, and love. You know, Pope. Mm-hmm. I think Pope John Paul II was the first to maybe introduce. Just not the first to introduce that, but I mean, it's. I think we have to keep looking at that because we ask, mm-hmm. what is the solution to the problems? What will bring people to know, to love, and to serve God? But it would have to be beauty and truth and goodness. This is what should characterize mm-hmm. The life of a Christian.
Right.
The beauty, the truth, and the goodness. And of course, for that, there has to be humility, that we're disposed and receptive to God, who brings beauty and truth and goodness into our lives and into us, into the world. When you think about, you know, over the ages, you think about the beautiful art and the beautiful music. I mean, really beautiful music and beautiful art that adorns the churches. You know, our church would be an example right here, but I mean, even going back, you know, it's the beauty. It elevates the soul. It really does. The beautiful music, you know, especially the Gregorian chant.
Traditional music.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, Christina, when you guys do the
Latin traditional
songs.
It just
moves the heart, you know. You don't have to know what the word means. It's so deep and so beautiful. So, it draws you into the mystery of it all. I think, you know, I really think that this is really that by the grace of God, sure. that music is really the work of God.
Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, even, well, I don't want to be negative here, but much of the modern art and modern music just doesn't do it.
There's no comparison.
It doesn't compare, no.
No, and I think...
it's very shallow.
I was thinking about that this morning, you know, even as we were having Mass this morning at 6:15, just the beauty of the church. And mm-hmm. I was thinking back when I was in the seminary in the late 70s and the 80s, and already, you know, you had all these new churches and these, I just remember being on the campus at St. Louis University, and some of the stuff that was, it just didn't, there was nothing there. It was, and yet how we kind of convinced ourselves that this was beauty when there was nothing beautiful about it.
No. Even like Holy Thursday, Father, a lot of the people that come visit the churches, the beautiful traditional churches here in the city, are from the suburbs because they don't have that.
Exactly, yeah.
They want their children to see the beauty and the richness of the traditional art, Catholicity. It's we're very blessed.
Yeah, one of the, Nina, one of the, she hadn't been here for a long time, mm-hmm. but she brought her father, who's an ailing, he's sure. up in years, and he's not able to walk very well, but in fact, that when she came to Christ, if I had known, I would have gone to him. And she said, after Mass, she said, no, I want him to walk, you know, mm-hmm. I want him
yeah.
to walk.
Sure.
So he's got to come to you. But the but she left and she said, you know, this just, I just felt like I was in Italy. She's yeah, Italian. Yeah. They're Italian. She said, I felt like I was in Italy. Mm-hmm. Everything was just so, and she lives in the suburbs as well. Not to say that they're, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know, yes.
Well, even like the other day, we were talking with Jerry that back then, what they call the Dark Ages, which I don't know why they call them, there's where the beautiful music and artwork came from that time period.
Yeah.
Beautiful, and it's eternal, it's everlasting, it never goes
well, sure.
out. You know what I'm trying
yeah,
to
oh,
say?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you're trying to say. Of course I know
I
what you're trying to say.
I can't say what
yeah.
I'm trying to say.
But, you know, you look at the windows, the stained glass. I mean, mm-hmm. this was all, it was a catechetical sure. Teaching, you know,
right.
because the things they taught, you know,
sure.
even if people were illiterate, they could follow the Stations of the Cross mm-hmm. or the Mysteries of the Rosary. They had the images, they had the
yes.
paintings, the saints, you
the
know,
saints.
Just a reminder that we're part of this a mystical body that... That's what I love. What I like about our church is here at St. Stan's, you can point. I mean, in fact, I've done that even when I've been in other churches
uh-huh.
Every so often, once in a blue moon or something, and I want to make reference, let's say, to the crucifix because we have this huge mm-hmm. crucifix. So I'm always pointing to the. It's behind
Powerful.
Me to the.
Yeah.
So there's the emblem, and then just to the right,
yeah.
Against the wall is the beautiful crucifix. It was a gift given to us actually
yes.
by. Father Akashevich, who's one of the founders of my religious community
wow.
in the 19th century. It's huge, beautiful, bronze, right?
Yes.
And so I'm always, you can just point to these visuals, very visual.
Yes.
And so I find when I'm in other places, I'm doing that, and I realize I'm not in my space. I'm in somebody else's space, and so the cross isn't there, the crucifix isn't there.
In a blank
there.
Wall, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there it is there. See, let's see. Yeah, so she's going to, oh, yeah, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. People, if you haven't been to the church, you got to come.
Yeah, it's such
really
a
nice.
Beautiful church.
And she's got the, they decorate with the red flowers, the tulips at the base of the cross. So
yes,
it's a
mm-hmm. symbol of his precious
blood.
Blood.
Yeah.
yeah.
Anyway.
But even like the writings of the saints back in those days, many saints came out. Just the depth.
The
of,
depth, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a... beauty, truth, and goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this
yeah.
is, I think there's enough people out there trying to go deeper mm-hmm. into the faith. And as I mentioned at one of the masses or somewhere, to somebody I was speaking about this, but this is a good sign that there's this movement, not only here, but throughout the world to the restoration, restoring these beautiful churches, because there was a
yes.
time when they were neglected and some of them were even... you know, grossly mutilated as well. All
what
in the name
they call
of...
the renovations instead of
exactly,
we did the
yeah.
restoration and they wrecked them.
Right. No, they're beautiful, beautiful. What's happening? So these are signs that God is ever present. So many signs. But anyway, going back to the Pope, you know, he was speaking about that weakness, or that this is The true strength comes from it's not weakness, humility. Going back
humility.
To humility, humility
mm-hmm.
is not weakness, but there's a true strength mm-hmm. in humility. Those who bear within them God's power, His love, His justice, they don't need to employ violence. They don't need to, they just need to speak and act with the power of truth and beauty and love.
Mm-hmm.
From the risen Lord, we ask the grace not to succumb to the pride which fuels violence and war, but to have the humble courage to pardon and peace. And we ask Jesus, the victor over death, to lighten the sufferings of our brothers and sisters. And then he went through, and you know, just think about it, what's happening in the world right now. But he speaks about those persecuted for his name, for the name of Jesus, all those who suffer injustice as a result of ongoing conflicts and violence. And he began to then, you know, give a litany of all these places where things are pretty bad. He spoke about the need for peace in Syria and Iraq, that the roar of arms may cease and that peaceful relations may be restored among the various groups which make up those beloved countries. He says, may the international community not stand by before the immense humanitarian tragedy unfolding in these countries and the drama of the numerous refugees. And I'll tell you, when you look at the numbers, it is astounding. I think in Syria alone, just in the last several years, over 250,000 people have died, you know. And he talks about he prayed for peace for all the peoples of the Holy Land, and may the culture of encounter grow between Israelis and Palestinians and the peace process be resumed in order to end years of suffering and division. Then he implored peace for Libya, that the present absurd bloodshed and all barbarous acts of violence may cease, and that all concern for the future of the country may work to favor reconciliation and to build a fraternal society respectful of the dignity of the person. And for Yemen, he says, too, we express our hope for the growth of a common desire for peace for the good of the entire people. And at the same time, you know, in hope we entrust to the merciful Lord the framework recently agreed to in, was it in Switzerland? The agreement with the Iranians. This is very controversial, extremely controversial at this time. But the Pope is right in asking that it might be a definitive step toward a more secure and a fraternal world. And then, of course, he asks the risen Lord for the gift of peace for Nigeria, South Sudan, for the various areas of Sudan and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and mentioned specifically the young people who were killed last Thursday at the college in Kenya, those who have been kidnapped, and for those who are forced to abandon their homes and their dear ones. You know, there's so much that going on in the world that it just, you know, you almost, when you hear it, it's, can I say this? And it's just terrible to even think that something would become no longer shocking to us. You know, when you think of the beheadings, the Islamic State was beheading those initial beheadings, and it was just a shock to the system. You know, it just so shocking, but it just continues to happen. Yes. It continues to happen. He prayed for the beloved Ukraine, those who have endured the violence of the conflict of recent months. And that may the country rediscover peace and hope thanks to the commitment of all interested parties. And then, of course, peace and freedom for the many men and women subject to all the new forms of enslavement on the part of criminal individuals and groups. Peace and liberty for the victims of drug dealers and who are often allied with the powers who ought to defend peace and harmony in the human family. And he says, we ask for peace. We ask peace for this world subjected to armed dealers. I talked about the marginalized, the imprisoned, the poor, the migrants who are so often rejected, maltreated, and discarded, the sick and the suffering, children, especially those who are victims of violence, and all today who today are in mourning, all men and women of goodwill, hearing the consoling voice of the Lord Jesus, peace be with you. Fear not, I am risen and shall always be with you. But the atrocities go on, don't they?
Yes, they
do. As I said yesterday at one of the masses, I don't remember, you know, but imagine if we didn't have prayer, if we didn't have the Eucharist. Because I was saying yesterday that the great gift of the risen Lord to the church is the Eucharist, where we have this encounter with Jesus in the sacrament in order that we not collapse, that we be sustained, and that we give witness. So anyway, we'll take a break and try to get some regain some energy here, you know, I need to, or otherwise I'm going to leave it all to you guys.
Oh, yes.
When I get back.
We'll sing for you.
Would you do that?
We'll sing. A trio here.
Speak for yourselves.
Anyway, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th, is Divine Mercy Sunday. And the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. And English and Spanish confessions, a recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loyer of the Tabor Life Institute. I'm inviting you to an opportunity to be pierced by the sheer beauty of God's plan for your life, to make the connection between God, sex, and the meaning of life.
As Father Loya invites you to hear renowned speaker and author Christopher West, Saturday, April 25th at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Plainfield, Illinois.
Original sin for all of us, for every human being on the planet, has disoriented our desires. We often find ourselves hungry for things that don't satisfy the ache, don't satisfy the need.
Join Christopher Saturday, April 25th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. at St. Mary Immaculate Parish, 15629 South Route 59, Plainfield, Illinois. Limited seating. Register online to coreseminar.evenbright.com. Core spelled C-O-R, Bright spelled B-R-I-T-E.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us. So I'm going to let you guys do some talking because I am really, really, now I'm feeling the exhaustion. I really am. I mean, I've been going strong, and then this morning I've been working on this letter. I might share this with you, but let me ask you first, what is your favorite Easter story from the Bible, from the Gospels?
Oh, Father, I can't. I like them all.
Mary Magdalene.
Mary mm-hmm. Magdalene.
What do you like about it? Can you tell us a story?
It's just, she goes and she's wondering.
Yeah.
Is it going to be open? Where is he? What's happening? And she is the first one to really realize that Jesus isn't there. Where is he? And she wants to let others know something's happened. We don't know right. what has happened.
And then later when she goes back, this is a thing that mm-hmm. Because she went back to the empty tomb, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I love this story. I love Jesus. Of course, I love Jesus. You know, but I love what he does here
because he does this. He likes to play with us.
It's just so beautiful because she's the tomb is empty, and she's crying.
Yes.
You know, she's crying, and she says, you know, she's looking for, you know, she doesn't know. She's beside herself. She doesn't know where to go, what to do. And
right.
So Jesus appeared to her as though he was a gardener. She thought he was a gardener, mm-hmm. And he's what I find so beautiful is he's anticipating her joy when she mm-hmm. discovers.
Right.
You know, so he said, you know, he says, woman, he says, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Well, he knows well why she's crying, you know. And he says, why are you weeping? And she says, well, sir, she said, if you know where they've taken the body, please tell me that I can go to get the body or whatever. So, you know, and he just calls her by name. Mm-hmm. He says,
yes.
Mary. And when he said that, of course, she recognized him when he called, when she heard her name.
Right.
And she, you know, Rabboni, she went to Dagon and says, no, you know.
Not yet.
By the way, you know, I have to tell you, you know, because I was always curious about this because now she's not permitted to touch him, right?
Sure.
Because he says, I haven't yet returned to the Father.
Yeah.
And yet, we'll find these other women who come and they're hugging him and all that. So what gives?
I never, it never even dawned on me.
Well, it should dawn on you, Christina.
No, I never.
Some people are more important to Jesus than others, isn't it?
Well, I was reading, I think Pope Benedict writes about this, that actually Jesus, so Mary Magdalene was the first to receive, well, we think perhaps the Blessed Virgin
right.
might have been
well,
the first
of course,
to have
his
the
mother.
Experience, but that that he had, so it would have been that he had returned to the Father when he had... I mean, ascended to the Father. I shouldn't probably step into this because
I have to check it, Father.
Yeah.
I don't.
But I was reading a commentary on that. You know that the because he hadn't. You know, at the end of the 50 days or the 40 days, mm-hmm. it was 40 days before the ascension.
Right.
I think there's 40 days of Christmas. What is it?
Easter.
Is this Easter?
Yes.
Yeah. Easter. Yeah.
We're still at Christmas.
I don't know why.
that happens.
We had the opportunity to do a rerun today, you know, on this because we knew.
No, this is better.
Yeah, we should have done the Christmas one, right?
The Christmas one. Yeah.
The Christmas is.
So the 40 days of Easter. It, by the way, okay, so Christina, Feliz Pascua.
Felices Pascuas.
Felices Pascuas. Mm-hmm. So we got into that argument, not an argument, a discussion as to whether. It's Feliz Pascua or Felices Pascuas. Well, Felices Pascuas, which means Happy Easter, right,
mm-hmm.
in Spanish, because of the 50 days, Felices Pascuas.
It's the
Feliz
the
Pascua
season.
Would be the day, right?
The day, and it's the 50 days, the
Felices
Easter
Pascua.
Season.
So I'm wishing you a happy Easter
happy
season. So
it would
be a happy Easter season. So Easter, well, right now we're in the octave, or in the 8 days. But anyway... So he does in a definitive way. He'll return to the Father, not to return until he comes at the end of time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And yet he did go to. Well, he comes to all of us, doesn't he, in his own mysterious
yes.
way?
Yes. He does.
And he comes to us through the Word of God and through the yes. sacraments of the Church. So, but the I was thinking of the unique mm-hmm. experience that Paul had.
You know,
because
wow.
certainly this was after the birth of the Church on
sure,
Pentecost.
Right.
But anyway, that the story of Mary Magdalene is a beautiful story. Now we had yesterday in the evening mass, I did the gospel Jesus on the road to Emmaus,
mm-hmm.
or the disciples on the road.
Is that your favorite?
My
favorite is the Peter.
You said you didn't. You said they were all.
No, they are. But now that
now
I
you're
think
contradicting
of it,
yourself.
No, I couldn't. Yeah. Oh, I couldn't think of one that really touches.
Okay,
the
so
one
which
with
one?
Peter when he goes to Peter and Peter. Denied him, and he has that sorrow that he
right.
denied him, and he's sort of like in the corner there, and
right.
and Jesus goes to him, and he asks him, Peter, do you love me? Like three times. And
does
I
he
can,
say Peter?
Simon Peter. Okay.
Simon, well, you, son of John.
Okay, yes.
He yeah, just named,
okay, good. No, that's fine. I need to be correct.
No, because there's a reason for that. I mean, it's a beautiful story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Simon, son of, yes.
John,
yeah. No, but I can relate to him so in so many ways because I, just thinking that every time I fail him. And
you're always putting your foot in your mouth. That's what Peter did all the time.
I can relate to him. But the Lord knows that, and Peter told him, you know more better than I. You know
sure.
that I love you, and that's how I feel. You know, even though I fail him, but he knows that I
sure.
love him. And just that story is so.
It is a beautiful story.
It just touches my heart.
Yeah. Touches my heart too, you know. It really does. What I like is, and I remember asking Jesus, I kind of want to be Peter, to be John. We've talked about this before, you know. But we should all want to be a little bit of Peter, a little bit of John,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit all of them,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I liked when in that gospel scene because Jesus will ask him three times. You know, do you love me, Simon, son of John? Do you love me? He says, yes, Lord. You know I love you. Well, tend to the sheep. But I like when he says, Simon, son of John. Do you love me more than the rest?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you love me more than the rest? And Peter became very sad, and he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, you know? And, of course, then I love the beloved. He said, well, Peter says, but what about him?
Yes.
What about him, pointing to John?
See, there was he was always worried about the beloved, like he was
yeah.
closer to
Well, they knew he was close to Jesus, you know,
yeah.
that's the thing. And
but he wanted to be number.
Number one,
because he loved them so much, even though he failed them. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what about him? What about the?
Don't worry about him.
And of course, again, we've talked about this all the time, but you just can't. You gotta appreciate the beauty and the humanity.
Sure.
Of the disciples.
And that's, has anything changed? No, we're all the same.
No, but I tell you that really truthfully, the transformation in Peter
mm-hmm.
after Pentecost is just unbelievable.
Yes,
unbelievable. He's no longer putting his foot in his mouth, and he's, and I mean, he's there's some conflict there. You're going to deal with some conflict and all that. But he is absolutely speaking and acting in the person of Christ Jesus. He is the head of the church, and he is has an authority and a confidence and a passion that is just absolutely phenomenal, just beautiful. But what about you, Tony?
I don't know. I kind of like a little bit of both of them.
A little bit. You should like a lot of both of those.
I have a specific, like Christina said at first. I don't think I have a specific, but just in hearing Peter, I mean, any story of Peter is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I see a little Peter.
Now, there was the one where, and I always think about this, I'm always fascinated with the angel. Mm-hmm. When the women first go to the tomb, mm-hmm. To anoint the body. Now, they couldn't do it on Friday because that was a Sabbath. And so when they go, there was an angel, a young man.
Mm-hmm.
This is very interesting, you know, that young. I thought that was...
It seemed like the angels were always... Well, this way they depict them, that they're strong and young, no?
Well,
in this particular story.
Sure. I'm just mm-hmm. kind of rambling here, but as I do all the time.
No.
But the fact that is it in John's gospel? I don't remember which gospel, but the fact that it's specified that he was young, mm-hmm. young, because isn't that the whole keeping in the theme of the resurrection, you know, the glorification of the body, what the world has taken away, God gives.
Yes.
Back, okay. So that you know, if we should live a long life, we're not all going to be and we make it to heaven, we're not going to be up there, you know, all these old
we're
people.
Gonna be
it's
young.
Not
going to
<that's>, yeah, right.
Well, he makes everything new, like
he makes
said.
All things new. Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is the great.
You know the other story.
Which story?
You talk, the one with Thomas.
Yeah, I was just reflecting on that this morning, actually.
Okay,
in preparation.
Thomas,
go ahead.
It's just interesting how he. He's like, well, not until I put my finger through.
Right. What do you think about that, by the way?
Well,
you know what? Let me take
it. Yeah.
Nick, we're going to take a break, and then we come back. Then you're going to answer that question, okay, about
yes,
Thomas, since you brought it up.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change, and AM 750 WNDZ.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Sunday, April 12th. Is Divine Mercy Sunday, and the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago is at St. Stanislaus Kostka on Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th. There will be Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and English and Spanish confessions, a recitation of the Holy Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Bring yourself to Christ's infinite well of mercy. Divine Mercy Sunday, April 12th at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the link of the Holy Week schedule of services.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project 4th Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Our music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the church's Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is this Saturday evening, April 11th, at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children.
High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Tickets also available at the door the day of the concert.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to wrap up. Thank God we're going to wrap up because I'm at the end of the... this is because I wanted to get this letter done today, and so I've been working on it all morning, so I haven't had a break, and I need some space this afternoon, so I need that space. Anyway, Christina, you were talking about Tommy.
Tommy, good old Tommy.
Good old Thomas, St. Thomas. So what were you going to say about St. Thomas?
Well, that he, when Jesus first appeared to the other disciples, he wasn't there.
Right.
So when they... shared their experience that they saw him, he was resurrected. He didn't believe it. He said, well, not unless I see, I have to put my finger through, and then I will believe. And that's many of us. You know, many times we doubt God.
Sure.
Well, I don't know. That's impossible. How can that really be? But he didn't God say, or Jesus said, blessed are they who need not see and believe.
He did say that.
So I think that's very powerful, and that's why we're all here. We don't need to see. It's like I was watching the Ten Commandments yesterday, Father, and how just the whole story of how they didn't know, they've never seen him. They didn't know his name. He who has no name, the father of Abraham, father of Isaac, he who has no name, and like the great. And when Moses said, well, Lord, who should I tell that has sent me? And he said, tell him I am. And the great I am who has sent thee.
You know, it's interesting that this is probably the time in history, which is makes it quite frightening, the most where atheism or disbelief is so prominent, because it's always people, you know, we're all created by God. So God has shown himself, right? We've seen himself, and we've seen God in the face of Jesus. Jesus is God, so he has visited his people, and he has atoned for the sins of the people. But people have always had belief in God. There's always been, even today, non-Christians, you can take the Muslims, or people have this belief in God. Now, God has revealed himself.
Sure.
God has revealed himself, but the fact that there's this this disbelief, unbelief, growing atheism is disturbing, really. It's quite disturbing. And you don't know at what point that's going to shift away from unbelief towards belief. But Jesus did say, yes, he says, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. But to your point, I think I was just reflecting on this morning because I'm preparing the letter in preparation for Divine Mercy Sunday. So the gospel is the doubting Thomas, right? Thomas who's because he doesn't see Jesus until the eighth day and on the octave. And that's when he goes into the upper room and the cenacle where Jesus had celebrated the Last Supper, where the disciples will gather after the ascension to pray for the 9 days awaiting the gift of the Spirit. So that's where they gather up there in that upper room. And that's where they were on the eighth day. And that's where, when Thomas, when he got there, Jesus had appeared to them, and he went up to Thomas, as he said, right? He says, you know, don't have the gospel here with me, but he says, put your finger,
my wound.
He says, look and see the wounds in my hand, and put your hand into the wound of my side, right? And don't be unbelieving, but be a believe, right? Believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. But you see, the thing is, and this is the point that I'm making in the letter I'm speaking about, the mercy of God, is a Divine Mercy Sunday. And that's the gospel where, you know, Jesus says, forgive sins. What sins you forgive, they're forgiven. He says, you know, peace be with you. But God, yes, the Lord said, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. But he knows we're made of clay. He knows that... the Lord knows this. He knows that we're mere human beings.
We're limited.
Right. And so he says to us, you know, put your finger here and see my hands and bring your hand and put it into my side and do not be unbelieving, but believe. So the Lord assures us that he spared himself nothing of what we suffer in this life. Yet now, beyond the door of death, Jesus lives. So I don't have time to go into this. I was going to share because we won't go into it now.
We have tomorrow.
We got 5 minutes.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to go into it because I'm going to get sidetracked, or I'm not making any sense today.
Yeah, you're okay. Father, it's fine, Father.
All right.
But it also shows that, again, our humanity and how we're so visual. We need to see, and in many ways, we're like Thomas. We're like all those characters.
What do you mean characters?
The people in the story.
I think characters is like a comic or something.
No, that's what we are. Yes,
we're characters.
No, but really, you're right. You know, this is the beauty of the story. You know, as I say, the gospel is rewritten in every generation. It's the same gospel. The story is the same. It's just a different people. Mm-hmm. You know, not that we're going to be, you know, literally Peter. But you know, the other thing is, we're all called. I've been using this for the last month or so about being swept up into the divinity of God. Mm-hmm. What the saints say, that God became human, that we become divine, And what does that mean? But that we grow into our true selves.
Right.
Not that we are gods, but that we share in the life of God. That we share, he gives us a share in his divinity, which means that that God is all in all. He's our peace. He's light. He's joy. God is God. And so to be swept up into his divinity gives us the very grace needed to endure the things of this life. The sufferings and the trials and the tribulations and the oppressions and the disappointments and the monotony and all that stuff that is inherent in life in this world as we're in the exile, as we're on the way. So it's this Jesus in the resurrection has, as he's said, you know, through me to the Father. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. And so it's in and through Jesus that we have access to the Father, and that we can. We'll just kind of end here, I think. I hope. Hoping we can kind of come. I'm looking at the clock now because I'm running out of energy. But, you know, what are the first words of Jesus in the resurrection?
You're not afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. Be at peace. Be at peace. You know, I make all things new, right?
Yes.
I make all things new. Death has been defeated. I've taken the sting out of death. I've set you free from your slavery to sin, you know, and no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, I've laid down my life for you. So it's just a matter of, you know, just give it all to me and let me now. And that takes humility, right? It takes humility to say, you know, I have need for God and for the grace of God, and that God can do in me what I cannot do in myself, right?
Yes.
So anyway. All right, I hate to say this, we're out of time. I'm kind of glad we're out of time, you know. So, hey, listen, thanks so much for being with us. Happy Easter, everybody, as we begin now the Easter season. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time.